whatever.
I'm known for running my mouth. I'm known for running my. I'm known for running my mouth. I'm known for running my. I'm known for running my mouth. I'm known for running my. I'm known for running my mouth.
Whatever do you mean?
I'm known for running my mouth. I'm known for running my. I'm known for running my mouth. I'm known for running my. I'm known for running my mouth. I'm known for running my.
Oh yeah.
Whatever.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Big shout out.
Oh, huge shout out.
Huge shout out to DJ Drop Ja for that intro,
you know,
there.
And you know,
Dallas,
our board op here, I would feel bad, except you weren't on our ones and twos for the longest time.
Right.
But he makes that kind of music.
Oh, yeah.
Guy could have did that.
Oh, yeah. He could have easily done that. And had
check
he been
the
here,
stuff out.
Had he been here.
On SoundCloud.
We would have done that for him.
Yeah.
I gave you that mic there so that maybe John could talk.
So I hope you don't feel bad.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah. Here let
John. Yeah, let John. John, shout out your info, man, where people can find your music, dude, because you make some dope stuff.
It's www.soundcloud.com/GAT3WAY-1. Gateway-1.
Gateway. But the three is the E?
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
How did he remember that?
Oh, I don't know. He's probably had it forever.
Yeah. Hey,
I was back at the old studio. Oh, yeah.
Hey, folks. Now, some people might be happy to hear this.
Mm, yeah.
But we're out of here after two more shows. This one and another one. We're done.
Yeah, that's it.
We've decided to take our leave. We've tried to take our talents to South Beach. Actually, downtown St. Louis.
Yeah.
To our phone and text lines, Bakken Music Record Shop. They
that's
are
right.
building us our own studio.
Yes.
It's more conducive to what we do. This station has gone all sports.
All sports. It's not enough that you hear it throughout the day. They want you to hear it at night,
yes,
too.
It's been taken over by someone other than our good buddy Tim McKernan, who we got to thank.
So oh, my gosh.
I mean, this guy has gave us a platform and an outlet for years.
Yeah, he has. And you know what?
And he's never told us, don't do this, don't do
no,
that. He said,
no.
Do it. He said, you guys do what you do.
Just do what you do.
Within the bounds of the FCC.
That's right. And we skirted that line.
We skirt, and Tim was okay with that.
He was okay with skirting it. Not skirting
because he's a
it,
known skirter.
Yeah. But, yeah, big shout out to Mr. McKernan, because if you've listened to our show at all, you know we have some weirdos on here.
Yes.
We have some weirdos. We've had a time traveler on here. John remembers that.
I remember that one.
Oh, man. Crazy, oh, yeah. Dude. We've had ghost hunters on here. We've had conspiracy theorists on here. And I'm telling you what, when they get to yip-yapping, whoo, I'm telling you what, it gets weird. It gets weird. But that's what we were all about, and McKernan never had a problem with it.
No, and he found us time slots.
Yeah.
He didn't have to.
Found us time slots.
And Charlie Tuna, we got to thank him.
Got to thank Charlie Tuna for
nice
giving
guy.
Us his
I
spot
tell you
on
what,
Friday.
I've listened to that guy for 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't always agree with the man. Thought he was probably an a-hole. But I had
certified.
Never met him. I'd never met
that's
him.
Right. I never
and
met
I tell
him.
You what, you talk about a nice
oh,
guy.
Oh, nice guy.
That guy will bend over backwards.
Backwards.
For you.
And wears a great, great brand of watch, Invicta.
Oh, yes, he does wear Invicta.
And we're, me and Nate are big
he's
on Invicta watches.
He's a slick dude. So who'll be filling our time slot? We don't know.
We don't know.
But we'll be off until July.
July. First week of July, we'll be off. While the studio is being built for our podcast.
And what we're working on is probably the kickoff show with a huge local talent.
Yeah, I wouldn't throw any names out
there. I'm not. He's a huge local talent. He's touring the world right
the
now.
Countryside.
And he's also on a TV show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And,
I'm hoping to get him.
And what we're hoping to do is not do his interview in our studio necessarily, but there's a big theater there.
Yeah, there is.
With a stage, and people can come. This guy's big locally.
Yeah.
People can come watch the live interview.
Exactly.
Now, how cool would that be?
That'd be great. I'm hoping it happens, especially now since you've given so many hints out.
That's all right.
But anyhow.
We're hyping it.
Folks, give us a call here or a text on our Music Record Shop phone and text line, 855-282-8255. That's 855-282-TALK. Music Record Shop there at 3224 Locust Street on the second floor. Go on up there and check out all their new and used vinyl. They also have CDs. They also have tapes, gentlemen.
And as soon as it was mentioned that Chris Cornell died, they immediately went to their archive.
Yes.
gathered up all the Audioslave,
Soundgarden,
Chris Cornell solo albums, and immediately, in the morning, they were sold online.
They were gone. They were gone. Gone. Every last one of them.
Although they do have one solo album.
They did have one, and I bet you it's gone though. I bet you it's gone. Yeah, Music Record Shop, folks. Check them out at 3224 Locust Street on the second floor. Great, great record shop. Go up and check them out. Mark Carter, like we mentioned before, just a great guy. Just a great guy.
And his wife. Nice,
and his wife, too. Lovely. 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 So accommodating and so lovely. But we can't wait to work with them, and it's going to be a great partnership, and we cannot wait to get started on that. Now, we've got a few things to mention here. Tomorrow, May 20th, there's going to be a benefit at Just Bills for Don, and I hope I'm saying this right.
I'll say it.
Don Behnen, it's Behnen. He's dealing with cancer, going through cancer right now. You know that's tough. If you haven't had cancer, you guarantee you know somebody who has. You can see how tough it is, how they need our support. Every little bit helps. So there's a benefit for him at Just Bills. Starts at 12 p.m. tomorrow. That's Saturday, tomorrow. It's going to be several bands that will be playing there. But at 5 p.m., Maximus is going to take the stage.
Man. Gosh, they're good.
Oh, they're so good. They're so good. So get on out to that benefit for Don Behnen at Just Bills at 12 p.m. tomorrow. And I tell you what.
Is it Maximus Vaginas, the guy that Bob Romanek's always talking about?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know about that.
It might be the band.
No, that's not the band. This is just Maximus. There's no Vaginas involved in that band. It's all testosterone, buddy. Anyhow, but check that out at Just Bills tomorrow at 12 p.m. Benefit there for Don Behnen. Maximus taking the stage at 5 p.m. But there's going to be other great bands there, too. So check them out. Make a donation and go support.
Cheap drinks.
Yeah, go support a worthy cause. Also tomorrow, check this out. SICW wrestling promotion.
I wish I could be there, but
they've got their Bruiser.
Come up.
They've got their Bruiser Brody Memorial Tournament, and guess who's going to be there? Abdullah the Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anything about old school wrestling, you'll know immediately who Abdullah the Butcher is. He's going to be there. I think there's a meet and greet available at
five p.m.
Okay, it's going to be at the community center in East Carondelet. So check that out. I think I didn't check the ticket prices. What are they?
$10. I think they're $5 for kids under 12, and adults are $12.
$12 or something like that. Cheap concessions.
Dollar beer. Hot diggity
hot
dogs.
Burgers. Popcorn is there.
Pickles on the burgers.
You got them pickles
they're
on
free.
It. Yeah.
Onion.
A little bit of mustard on
mustard.
It. Mustard. A little bit of mustard and ketchup on it. Ketchup. Anyway, get on out there to the community center there in East Carondelet. Our good buddy Herb Simmons heads that up. Just a great, great guy. And he lets us in for free, which is, added bonus.
Which is what we've come to expect from everyone.
No. Anyway, SICW Wrestling tomorrow, Saturday, Bruiser Brody Memorial Tournament. And doors are at 7, right, Nate?
Yep, bell time, 8 p.m.
Sharp.
And I'm telling you right now, get there if you want to see.
It's sharp, 8 p.m. sharp. Also, on May 25th, our good friend of the show, Derek Richardson, and his wife, Kathleen, they're going to be hosting a hand-rolling cigar networking event. That's a little something different for the Alton area, isn't it?
It is. I bet there's a lot of guys that know how to roll something up there.
I tell you what, it's not necessarily cigars. It's
pimp,
not a
pimp roll.
It's not a hand-rolling blunt networking event.
Right.
There'd be a huge turnout for that, though. But anyway, it's a hand-rolling cigar networking event featuring STL cigars. They're going to have guys on hands there actually rolling cigars right before your very eyes, and then you can buy them. If you don't smoke them, that's fine. I'm sure you know somebody who does. Buy them for a gift.
They have flown in a bunch of Cubans.
Well, I don't know about that.
And the Cuban guys will be rolling.
That might be racist.
$5. $5 a day they're getting paid.
Anyway, that's...
Is it? You think that's racist?
I don't know.
Is it? They make the best
Cuban cigars
right?
Yeah, they're the best, if you can get the real ones.
And I believe it's legal to bring them over here.
I think it's so many.
A couple boxes.
Yeah, something a couple boxes. You can't be going crazy.
You can either bring two boxes of Cuban cigars over or two Cubans, and they'll just roll
them.
And they'll just roll them.
You can just keep them in your house. You put them in a corner, and you make them roll cigars. No, May 25th,
and sleep in the shelves and
chest of drawers. May 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Bluff City Grill in Alton. You're talking about great food, great drinks, live music, and, of course, cigars. So get on out there. Derek Richardson and Kathleen, they're going to be hosting that.
When is this?
It's May 25th. Okay. That's next Thursday, I believe.
Brandon will be there.
Hand-rolling cigar networking event at Bluff City Grill from 5 to 8 p.m. And he's already said he's got, like, tons of people that have already RSVP'd to this. Like, told him they were coming. Like, the who's who. They're going to be there. So it's going to be great.
Who's who of what?
The who's who of around town.
Oh, okay.
Okay, June 3rd. Take a note of this, folks. Our good friend and one of our favorite local artists, he's a rapper, Trenton P., is going to be at Pops on June 3rd. Doors are at 7, shows at 8 for his Blacklist CD release. Me and Nathan will be there. We've already got the tickets. We did have tickets to give away, but they are all gone, folks. Sorry about that. And last time I talked to him, which was about 3 weeks ago, so there's 3 weeks' time in between what I'm getting ready to say here, he alone had sold 300 tickets to this event. 300.
Who?
Trenton P.
Oh, wow.
3 weeks ago. Now, there's been 3 weeks' time in between that. He's been selling like crazy, so I'm sure he's up to 400 or 500 now, but it's going to be a great show. June 3rd, Trenton P. at Pops, doors at 7, shows at 8 for his Blacklist CD release, and you can pick that up.
Wow.
There.
That's gonna be good.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be so good. Also, folks, June 2nd, I meant to mention this before the June 3rd, Trent P., but June 2nd, Dynamo Pro Wrestling's Riot on the River is going to be held at the Loading Dock Barn Grill. It's presented by the Loading Dock Barn Grill and the Bloody Bucket. Anybody know what that is? Uh-uh. John, ever heard of the Bloody Bucket? Anyway, it's sponsored by the Loading Dock Bar and Grill and Bloody Bucket. That's Riot on the River Dynamo Pro Wrestling event, Friday, June 2nd at the Loading Dock Bar and Grill, 401 East Front Street in Grafton, Illinois. If you know where Grafton, Illinois is, you know where the Loading Dock is.
Beautiful.
It's a great place. It's a great place. The food, but great view. Tickets are just $10 each, and they're available at the Loading Dock. They're at the door. You can get them at the Loading Dock ahead
when
of time.
Is this?
It's June 2nd, but you need
there's a lot of stuff.
You need to be there because I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm going to be out of town.
I don't know, maybe.
It's the 10-year anniversary. It's the 10-year anniversary. You take her with you. It's the 10-year anniversary of Dynamo Pro Wrestling.
And what time does it start?
Doors at 7, shows at 8, $10 each.
Too late. That's too late.
And you can get those tickets at the Loading Dock, the Bloody Bucket, or at eventbrite.com.
I feel like this is the Dave Glover show.
Really?
We're just going to do live reads.
Well, I'm telling you what, we got a lot of live reads here. Some of them are very important here.
Works
but anyway,
today.
Dynamo Pro Wrestling, Riot on the River, folks, June 2nd, going from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Loading Dock. Get your tickets now. All right, so on a serious note, we've got a benefit coming up for Haley Michael, and I hope I'm saying that right. I kept asking people how to pronounce that name, and no one ever told me or got back with me, so I'm just going to do the best I can here. Benefit for Haley Michael. Haley was suffering from cancer. She unfortunately lost that battle. Mm. But, of course, there were enormous expenses involved that were incurred while she was battling that disease. And like I said before, you may not have had cancer, but you definitely know somebody who has, and it is something
or
that
you
is
will.
Very, very serious, and the expenses involved in it are crazy. So they're having a benefit for her family to help pay some of those expenses. June 11th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Wood River Knights of Columbus Hall there on 102 Whitelaw Avenue in Wood River. There's going to be basket raffles, food, drink, entertainments. I think they got a couple of bands there. I think Harvest Drive is playing there, Nate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Harvest Drive. If you want tickets or you want to make a donation, contact Terry Trigovich. Once again, hoping I pronounced that right. 618-977-5454. That's 618-977-5454 for tickets to that benefit or to make a donation. Once again, the benefit for Haley Michael, June 11th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Wood River Knights of Columbus Hall there on 102 Whitelaw in Wood River.
And if Harvest Drive is playing, mm-hmm. the lead singer, Jennifer Leanne Thompson,
mm-hmm.
used to travel with some of the biggest names in country music. She was their backup singer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, you know that.
I didn't know.
Dude,
no.
She's been in studio how many times?
She has?
Yeah.
Really? With
oh,
me?
Wow.
No,
maybe
I think
not.
I think last time she was in studio, I wasn't here.
Yeah, Yeah, she has. With some of the biggest names. She's still friends with a lot of them. Awesome.
Oh, wait. No, I remember it now. Yeah.
That tells
yeah,
you how good a singer she is.
Woo. Yeah, yeah. She's really good. So check them out there at that benefit. Also, we want to make a little announcement here about a Facebook page that you should definitely go check out. They're having a Kickstarter for this thing called The Circuit. It's a sci-fi anthology series. I think it's going to be a 10-parter. And you just got to go check it out because it's way too much to explain. But the story is written by the fans. So they've got a Circuit fan group. You can go check that out on Facebook, The Circuit fan group or The Circuit on Facebook. And they go live tonight at midnight for the Circuit Challenge. And what that is they've got a Kickstarter there, and you can go and donate to that Kickstarter. It's only, like, you can donate $1. But if you get, you can donate $1, and then you can put, like, a name of, like, a group. Like, we would go on there and put Brothers on Whatever. So anybody who knew us and went on there and donated any type of money and put Brothers on Whatever, it goes into, like, it totals up. And if it totals, like, $5,000, your name gets put in the film. And if it's, like, $10,000, your name gets credited at the beginning of the film saying brought to you by.
Let me tell you something. If you go on there and donate $1, put anonymous. I mean, you're a cheap bastard.
You can't really. If you can't donate $20.
Come on. $1.
Well, there are. Yeah,
can we go
what?
$5?
Hey, do you want to know something? I'm going to tell you this right now. Now.
No, $1 anonymous.
Yeah.
$5, your initials.
Your initials.
$10.
$10, first name, last initial.
Your family crest. 20, just put a picture of it up there.
$20, full name, starting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Come on, guys.
All right. But anyway, go to the Circuit fan group on Facebook. They're going to be going live tonight at midnight. They're having the Circuit Challenge. I'm going to tell you all about it. They got actors stopping by, directors, all kinds of surprises. The Circuit fan group. Check them out on Facebook, folks. Absolutely.
Cool. You know what? I think we should take a break.
Let's take
a
break.
And when we come back, we're going to get on the phone.
Yeah.
A private investigator.
Yeah.
You're going to want to hire this guy.
Woo.
And he's telling me, I got to ask him about the legality. He will stick a GPS secretly on somebody's
just
vehicle.
A magnetic, like a Mission Impossible style? Mission Impossible
style. And he also stopped a terrorist attack in
St.
Louis.
Did. Yeah, he did. Okay, folks, when we get back, we're going to be giving, and it's Mike Bland, right? Mike Bland. We're going to be giving Mike Bland a call, private investigator. He's got some great stories, and he's a great guy. We're going to be right back here on the Brothers on Whatever program, folks. 590 The Fan, 105.7 FM HD2, and of course, inside STL.com. Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away the rain. Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come?
Hello, everyone. There is something to let you all know that when I'm not pillaging the Caribbean, I'm listening to the Brothers on Whatever show. So listen up and drink up, me hearties. Yo ho!
Oh, man, we were just talking about that guy. That's our good friend Aaron Robbie, his Captain Jack Sparrow impersonation. Oh, one of
tribute.
The best.
Tribute.
Tribute, right, man.
Greatest out there.
He's good, isn't he, John? And you know what?
Nice guy, too.
Yeah, great guy, and he is. It's one guy that I don't mind, and Nathan, too. We don't mind saying we have a man crush on him.
Oh, yeah. And now he's like fit as a fiddle.
Oh, fit. Just
not
fit.
That he wasn't, but now he's even. Because he got a Spider-Man suit, and he wanted to be all ripped
right,
out.
Right.
Do we have his old shows?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
I wish we could find him, because let me tell you something, buddy.
They were great.
They were hilarious because he started off as Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah, and we told everybody Johnny Depp was in
and
the studio.
People
remember
were
that,
going
John?
Nuts.
Man, they were losing it.
That was one of the first shows I think I ever ran for.
Oh, was it?
Then he switches to Captain Jack.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
And then at the end, we reveal.
Do the
it's all a fraud.
Reveal. The Mary Alish was a fraud.
It's all smoke and mirrors, like this whole Russian.
Yes, yes, yes.
Trump.
hey, folks, give us a call on our music record shop phone and text line, 855-282-8255. That's 855-282-TALK. That's Music Record Shop there at 3224 Locust Street on the second floor there. Go up for all your new and used, rare and hard to find vinyl. They got it. And if they don't got it, they will order it.
Yep. And now we're about to get to our caller on the phone line. But just so everybody knows, stay tuned at 9 because yeah. System Slave will be here.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping they'll play in studio like they did last time. I didn't ask them about it because it was kind of a last minute deal. We had a couple guests cancel, and I had to move System Slave up because they were on in like 2 weeks, which they wouldn't have been on had I not moved them up. But anyway, I moved them up, so hopefully they'll play live. I don't know.
Maybe we'll see. If they don't, you can go see them sometime.
Yeah.
Mike Bland.
Yes, Mike. Sir. How you doing?
Hey, man. How you doing, buddy?
Just living the American dream, you know?
I heard that, man.
Yeah,
I heard that. It's a nightmare for us right now.
Mike, I am gonna hire you to go ahead and investigate Hillary Clinton and George Soros and all these idiots.
Well, you know, I would, but unfortunately, I've researched all that, and I would end up dead like everyone else.
Yeah, that's right. True. Exactly.
That's just not even an option, I don't think, for me anymore.
No, didn't they just find a 27-year-old DNC kid dead?
Yeah, the Seth, whatever his name is. Yeah. He's, you know, one of the. If you actually read the list of the people that are actually, now I'm really going to end up missing, but you know. You read the list of all the people that did end up dead. It's funny how people think there's like two or three, but it's like 34.
It's crazy. It's a crazy amount. There's YouTube videos that are like 45 minutes long, just running through the guys.
There was a girl that worked in a Starbucks, and now we're getting into conspiracy stuff here. At least, well, people call it conspiracy, but
that's all right.
You know, there was a girl that worked in a Starbucks that I guess had been another intern besides the Monica Lewinsky that was with Bill Clinton, and she knew a bunch of stuff or actually started to speak out, and somebody walked into Starbucks where she was at, gunned her down.
And they didn't
even rob the place or anything. It was like broad daylight. They just gunned her down. And you watch that video on YouTube, it shows them walking around in a body bag and brought a Starbucks to the front door, and I'm like, holy crap.
Are you kidding me?
Well, we know when Monica Lewinsky started to speak out how Bill Clinton shut her mouth.
Oh my God, Nate. I remember that.
Yeah, Nate's not waiting for the podcast.
The reason we bring this up is you are a private investigator. What's the name of your company? And
Shadow Company Investigations.
Okay, and what are you specializing in these days?
Yeah, basically, you know, I pretty much do whatever I get paid for. But I mean, as far as on a serious note, what I actually, you know, my main bread and butter. Everybody kind of falls into their own niche, where there's workers' comp surveillance. Mm-hmm. For insurance companies or whatever, I would say the main things I'm good at for sure is, you know, the getting people back custody of their children, like the child custody cases where somebody's breaking some type of court order or keeping the kids longer than they should or drinking and driving with them in the car. You know, other thing I do is a lot of infidelity, anything cheating involved. You know, I GPS the person that's being the suspect and then find everywhere they're going, what they're doing, who they're hanging out with. Get videos and date and time stamp videos and pictures. And then, another thing I've gotten really good at, better than I would have actually thought, was actually just finding people in general. I've actually almost found every person I found a guy in Canada. I found almost everybody in the U.S. and I do all that from Missouri.
Wow.
So I don't even go anywhere.
You ever get a case to, you know, somebody wants somebody found and you have to end up telling them that they died?
You know what? I think there has been, I've done the investigations almost 20 years total, including law enforcement, but since I've had my own PI business the last 4 years, you know, I think I have seen that once or twice. It's not very often, but my database, when I pull everything up, it does show if the guy's deceased. So unfortunately, I mean, there's always a chance of, you know, and with those, I've seen everything. You know, I've had people, I know there's something weird going on too, where the guy doesn't say he's deceased, but I've seen this before. It'll say the guy, the last reported any activity reported from this guy, meaning and having an address or paying utilities, was maybe back in 1996. And then after that, it's like the guy just fell off the radar. And that makes me think that the guy's either, you know, missing or dead and no one knows about it. He just vanished. Or he's moved to somewhere like Mexico. And because everything we do is all tracked through the credit bureau. So that's where this information is all derived from. So when some, if it stops reporting in like 96, then I know, and it, you know what I'm saying, there's something wrong here.
He just
didn't go off the grid like that. Or he's living in the woods, and he's, I mean, that's the only
he's
other.
He's off grid. He's actually off grid.
Yeah, really is off the grid. And well, and there is actually about 80,000 Americans that do live off the grid.
Wow. So,
you know, that's actually always an option. But, I mean, you're not going to find that guy. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
no.
There's no way.
No. Absolutely not.
How do you GPS people? I mean, can you even reveal that?
Yeah. I just did one about 20 minutes ago, actually, here in St. Louis. And went right to a sports activity and stuck it right on the car and walked right off. And, you know, I was all nerve-wracked going to the – I thought it was going to be a lot of people around, and then it was, like, the easiest one I ever did. So
nice.
And then the ones I think are going to be easier are the ones where, you know, somebody's chasing you down the street, and you're like, oh, my God, I should have been more – you know, so it's always, like, off. You're like, oh, shit. You know, it's always opposite of what you think. But the ones I get all amped up for and, like, think of, like, the 20 scenarios how I'm going to sneak up and do this, it ends up being, like, there's no one even around for 20 miles. And I'm just like, oh, my God, you know.
My buddy was going through a divorce, and he got GPS. But I don't know who did it because it was stuck in between his console and his driver's seat.
Oh, well, so it was inside the car then, you said, right?
But that could have been his wife. I mean, can you legally jump in a car?
If it's marital property like that, yes. If it's just, you know, that I want to know what the Brothers and Whatever show is all about, and I like go and stick one inside your guys' car, that is kind of tampering because I'm getting in the vehicle, you know. I'm actually not really committing a crime once I get in there with any criminal intentions, but still, that would definitely probably... Invasion of privacy. But like I said, if you had to force your way in there and damage the car, then they would definitely get you a tampering probably. But, these go on the outside of the car and, you know, and under the vehicle. But like I said, if you got a marriage, you got a spouse, in other words, and your wife wants to audio tape the inside of the car or GPS track it, it's marital property, so you're fine. Now, if you guys have been divorced for 5 years and she goes sneaking into your you know, you're married to someone else now, and she goes and sticks something in your car, and she's tracking you, and she's listening to you. Now it's a federal offense because of the eavesdropping law. She's listening to you, and so, but you're not married anymore. So it's a fine line between being totally legal and being a federal offense. And most people get kind of – they don't understand the dynamics on what makes it go from legal to be illegal. So it's you know, I understand it, but, you know.
How far do you go with your surveillance? I mean, do you camp out at bars and – whatever
I basically go. I basically go wherever I gotta go. I've been everywhere from, you know, the strip clubs to churches, bars, restaurants, hotels. I've stayed in the hotels with the people I was watching for like 2 weeks. I mean, and literally watched everything they did and everywhere they went to dinner. And I mean, literally, you know, got a room there for 2 weeks. And,
wow.
And you know, you're basically professionally stalking them is what all you're doing.
Wow. So when, you know, okay, so if you get a room there for 2 weeks and you're following them around, I mean, when do you know that it's time to go to bed? Because, you know, they might go to their room and then you're like, okay, they're done for the night. And then they leave again. How do you know?
That's always a good question. You kind of do. It's kind of hard to explain that. You know, you kind of know. It's like, if in other words, a normal scenario on that, I remember that case very clearly. I did. And, you know, I would literally, it's kind of funny, actually, I would be camped out in the parking lot of the hotel in the car during the day. When the minute they would leave at, you know, 5-6 in the morning and go to do their training, because they were in town, a guy was, you know, from the East Coast here for his company training, but he was shacked up with one of the female employees he works with from the same company. So they were staying in the same room. So I was really funny. First, I had to trick him and figure out what room he was in. Once I figured that out, I got a room. And then when they were... You know, I kind of was staying in touch with the wife on the East Coast on the phone, and also I would be out in the car during the daytime. When they would leave and go to work or go to lunch, I would follow them in the area they were in St. Louis and do surveillance, and then I would beat feet back to the hotel and then be there before them and then get them showing up to the hotel, get a video of that going in as they're going up the elevator. I, like, parallel them running up the stairs as fast as I could and literally followed them as they were going right in the same room together. Like, and then all the way up until they shut the door and it says, like, room 301. So I literally had everything. But, I mean, at that point, and it's midnight, and they got to be up at work at 5 a.m., I know they're not pretty much going anywhere. But technically, you're right. You can never – doing investigations, you can never assume anything. And if you're watching somebody, I've learned, the minute you think you're going to go take a restroom break or you're going to go do something, that's when you're going to miss it. That's when you're going to miss your evidence. You know? So you've got to be Johnny on the spot, you know, definitely.
Wow. Wow, man. Yeah, I think it'd be interesting, man, to do that. But it's probably, I think it's exciting at times, but, you know, there's a lot of waiting around, isn't there?
Well, I was going to say, that's the whole problem with everything is, you know, I did the police work for a long time, like you knew, but I was talking to one of my buddies the other day that was, you know, one of these military special forces type guys, and he's like, you know, same thing, you know, people see the stuff all on the TV. They show, like, the cool sniper videos and the cool, you know, war movies and then the cool policing PI movies, but that's the problem. A lot of people, they get into everything and realize, you know, I didn't know I was going to be a Marine sniper. I'm like, sitting on a mountain, like, watching the desert for like 18 hours and, yeah. You know, that, and I mean, a lot of times that's like, as far as action, in other words, you know, there's not a lot of action real in a lot of these occupations. It's like a minute of sheer terror. And then the other 20 years of your career is like, okay, I'm so bored right now. You know, I'm on midnights and there's nothing going on. And so that's really true. And even as a cop, you know, heck, we had, you do a drug raid and kick the door in with your SWAT team and all this cool stuff and all this tactical gear, and that lasts about 2 minutes. And then the rest of the night, you're packaging evidence.
Yeah.
You're arguing over who's going to write the report, and then that goes on till 6 in the morning, and you're like, you know, I wish we would have never even done that.
Like that, you know?
That's how it feels.
Yeah.
They don't ever show any of that on TV.
Oh, so no.
See, oh, this is so cool to be a PI, and I'm like, well, what do you know about investigating? Well, I saw, like, you know, Miami CSI and NYC, and I'm like, it's not like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... So, like, yeah, sitting in a Target parking lot for 12 hours is not fun.
No, absolutely not.
And you do have a background in law enforcement, so you've got some ends that maybe normal people don't, right?
Yeah, I mean, the connections I have now, it's kind of funny because I only have, like, one, what I would consider a real, like, a huge connection. And honestly, it's, like, on the government level of connections. So it's funny. It's like I don't have any – heck, I've been trying for 4 years to get connections doing, like, employee background checks. Can't find anything. Can't find anything at all. And then the one group of people I have that are my connections are honestly, like, the best you could have in the world. So it's like I'm kind of hoping eventually through networking through them on the back end, I kind of meet some of the other guys like I was talking about, you know, their friends that own companies and doing background checks for some of the more normal stuff. But, yeah, so I have some unbelievable connections, and those guys – are kind of mentoring me and teaching me stuff and just, you know, all kinds of tricks and, I mean, you know, advice. And so it's all coming together for me finally. But, I mean, it's been very rough, you know, to get here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it takes a while to get anything, any business built up.
Yep. Yep.
How many websites you got now?
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. When I first got into all this, and I was like everybody, every other idiot, I'm like, oh, I think you need 100 websites all directed to one website to increase SEO. And then I realized, like, you know what, looking back on how far I've even came with that whole marketing thing, and since I've seen you guys, I'd actually started, I also have it's something more on the side. The passion's definitely with the PI work, but I did start an advertising business. That's something, like I said, that's more of, during the winter, during the down, the slow months, you know, I hammer away on that. But I just have one, you know, website for the PI, it's stlprivateeye.com, and then started the SEO business, the global SEO experts. Like I said, that's something that, you know, I've gotten very good at the web design and the SEO. I mean, my website for the PI business is like number 5 on the first page for St. Louis. I get calls every day.
Oh, wow.
I've got about 9,000 connections on LinkedIn. About, you know, I've got every group and page you can have on Facebook without getting freaking shut down. And then on it's the one I've been hitting up now is Instagram. But I don't honestly get, you know, my business doesn't come from social media. My honestly, people look up on Google Private Investigator. It comes all through me through the local business listing. So they see that, they see my reviews, and that's where everybody contacts me at. So
hey man, you got to tell us about the terrorist thing you stopped.
Oh yeah, you want to hear about that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
We've heard it, but our listeners haven't necessarily.
Well, let me ask you this: how much time do we have left?
Go for it, man.
Okay, well here's the thing. I'll tell you that story again, and I actually have almost an identical one. That is almost more intriguing that happened since then. And
oh, okay.
That was last, 2016. But, you know, in 2005, when I was a St. Louis County officer, we got a call for a guy taking pictures of the St. Louis County government building and off of Lee May Ferry there in South County. And I showed up, and there's just this kid, you know, he's like, I'm a college kid, I'm from Kazakhstan. Showed me his passport. He's like, I'm just taking pictures. I said, well, you're taking pictures of everything. You know, and when 9/11 happened, I said, you're not doing anything illegal, but you're kind of making people a little nervous. And I said, just kind of, you know, lay off. And I drive off. He starts taking pictures of me. I see his flash just blowing up and pointing at the police car. So then I get a little irritated, and I back up. I slam it in reverse, and I'm like, hey, you know, what part of no don't you understand? And here's the interesting thing. I look at the camera. I go to see if my picture's on there. There's zero pictures in this camera at all. And I saw him taking, you know, with the flash. So I'm kind of like, well, that's interesting. So then I'm totally perplexed. I give him the camera back. Then I see the guy in the following winter. He's on right down the road from there, Jefferson Barracks Bridge, connecting Illinois and Missouri. And it's like 7:30 a.m. I see a guy walking down the middle of the bridge. And it's freezing. I mean, it's like 20 degrees. And I'm thinking, who's this guy? So I thought he was going to jump. You know, that's what most time when you're a cop and you see somebody with no vehicle, especially, it's like, this guy, he's jumping. I don't care what they tell you. He's up there to jump off the bridge. And so I stop him and I say, hey man, do you have an ID on you? He pulls out a passport. I don't know it's the same guy, but it's the exact same guy from Kazakhstan. He pulls a passport out. I look at it. It clicks in my head. I'm like, oh my God, this is the same guy. And I say, can I see the camera? I look at the camera this time. The only thing in the camera were pictures of the steel cable, the supporting structure up towards the top of the holding the bridge together. So I'm thinking to myself, there's only two reasons you would even do this. One is you want to build a bridge, or two, you want to demolition one, you know, and bring it down. So I then played along with this guy and said, well, I got to give you a ride home, you know, and try to keep him as long as I could with me and within staying in everyone's constitutional rights here, you know. And so I keep him in the car and tell him, we're going to your place and I'm going to drop you off and I just want to see who this guy is. And finally, he's like, well, I want to go to Walmart. I'm like, I can't leave you there. Then we drive past every apartment in Oakville, and I get to the very last one there at Lindbergh and Lime, the Hispanic-named one, and I'm thinking to myself, we're going right past this. He's not even saying anything. It's the last one. I point out, I said, is this your place? He said, yes. We go in, the very first door, he stops. He goes, this is my door. I said, open it up. He's like, I don't have a key. And I'm like, well, how did I know you were going to say that? You know?
Oh, boy.
And then I was like, well, who lives here? And he's like, five guys. And then the guy, like, totally zones me out, and he steps away, and he starts literally going through what looks like a pre-fight warm-up. The guy's, like, kneeling down on the ground, and he's, like, stretching out. And I'm sitting here, like, the hair on my neck goes straight up.
Uh-oh.
And looking, it's all a learning lesson. I mean, as a police officer, we get zero training on how to spot, you know, spies and terrorists. So I'm totally perplexed. I'm sitting here, like, thinking, I feel like I should be getting my gun out right now, but I'm kind of like, I have never, ever even seen anything that's fit any of this criteria before. You know, normally you're dealing with stuff on a whole smaller on the food chain. So this guy ends up nothing. There was no confrontation, and I'm just at my wit's end. Like, you know, I don't know what else to do with this guy. I'm thinking, I got his passport information. I got all his information. I know who he is. I sent him down. I sent him on his way. Literally, we both go our separate ways from right there in that hallway. And then I said, that's where I wished it's, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I walk out of that apartment complex. I called St. Louis County Intelligence, you know, where I worked for as a patrolman, and the guy on the phone there did have more training on the terrorism. And he said, you know, Jeff Roediger was the guy there at the time. He said, there's tons of people coming from Kazakhstan, female suicide bombers bringing planes down all the time. I said, well, back at that time period in 2005, I was still in the mentality of, you know, hey, I think terrorists are just, you know, this stereotypical thing you see on TV of, you know, Middle Eastern guy, you know, and this big thing wrapped around the head and a suicide bomb. I mean, that was literally like what I knew of terrorism.
Yeah.
I mean, which is pretty small. So anyways, he said, no, there's a lot of stuff that comes out of that region. So I'm like, great. So he said, where was this guy at? You know, he rushes down there. No one, I literally was back on duty and no one ever even came to me and asked me about this or told me there was a search. And then fast forwarding up to 2013, I got my best friend a job as a dispatcher. He went to train with the Missouri Highway Patrol, and when he was there to learn how to run mules, they said, hey, you know, the only time we've ever entered somebody in Missouri wanted as a terrorist was, and he tells them, the Highway Patrol instructor tells them this whole story, and I've never even heard this, and I was the guy there. And my roommate is like, hey, this, or, you know, my best friend, he goes, this is my, you know, Mike Bland, that's my roommate, that's my best friend. He goes, So he knew the story because I told him so many times, and it's funny. And they're like, that's the only time we've ever wanted somebody, you know, entered as wanted for a terrorist in Missouri. And I thought to myself, holy crap, I didn't even know that, you know. So,
wow.
You know, but the guy I had last year, I just got off the phone about this a minute ago, actually, but there was a guy last year that I got hired to figure out who the guy was. He was dating a family's daughter in St. Louis, and they just didn't, you know, think everything jived. But he was like the high roller type, three-piece suits, had a ton of money, and he was about 57. He's dating this 30-year-old girl. So I start out by checking out his business card and checking out his websites and the whole nine yards. The guy says he's an attorney in New York and California, and I found out in like the first hour that everything about the guy was totally fictitious. And you know, the only thing that went back to the guy was his phone number on his business card. He would answer that, and the thing was bizarre. You know, I'm like, okay, so you know, I'm thinking to myself, what is the guy trying to do? You know, because that, I mean, if you can figure out what crime is being committed here, like that'll fill in a lot of the puzzle pieces. But I'm thinking to myself, either he's, to this day, I always hoped he wasn't an undercover, you know, a good guy, meaning like FBI or CIA guy, because then I kind of blew his cover, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, but I had the police out in California go to the address. It was, you know, abandoned home, $2 million home, completely empty in the hills of San Francisco. I called the California, you know, Department of Revenue, talked to them about the driver's license, let them know it was completely fake. So, I mean, I totally blew this guy's whole layers of identity he had out of the water, you know, and told my clients it was all fake. But like I said, I have no idea. I actually spoke to the gentleman on the phone once, the bad guy we're talking about, or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, I just was sarcastic at that point. I said, you know, I just got to ask, man. I said, you're probably not going to tell me, but I said, what are you? Are you a hitman? Are you a identity theft guy? Are you a married attorney that's just trying to date this gal, or what's the deal, man? And he just laughed and said, you know what? He said, I wish my life was that exciting, but he said, I'm actually just a guy. He first said, I'm an attorney in New York. I said, well, I found out that's fake. And he just was dead silence. And then I said, I'm an attorney in California. And then I just said, well, that's actually fake too. I said, come on, man. I said, I've been watching you for like 3 months, man. I said, and he just dead silence. And then he goes, well, how do you know all this? And I go, well, you remember when the girl's dad asked to see your driver's license? You know, I got a copy of the whole thing. And he just, I could tell he was, you know, not happy about that.
Right.
He goes, and then he gave me a little bit of insight, and he goes, well, you know, have you ever seen the movie Michael Clayton or whatever? It was the one with George Clooney where he's kind of like about corporations and conspiracies.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I'm kind of like the protagonist in that movie, but I'm not quite as noble. So I kind of took that as about the nicest political way of him threatening me, of saying back off, like I'm not, you know, I'm not a good guy. And
whoa.
I was kind of like, well, so to this day, I have no idea what the guy was.
Wow.
But it was something that, I guess, well, I don't know. I have never seen anything like that. So, I mean, and actually, as far as cases, even up till now, even including law enforcement, I mean, even the Russian guy we freaking identified with the freaking terrorist.
Yeah.
So this guy, no one knows. I mean, somebody came to me right now and they said, well, who was, you know, I'm saying, you know, law enforcement agency came to me and they said, well, who was the guy? I said, I have no idea.
No idea.
Mean,
wow.
I know what he looks like. I know kind of how his things he does is, you know, where kind of places he eats and frequents and his mannerisms. But I mean, we saw a video of him. I kind of thought he was, he had like really dark hair, and I'm kind of like, oh, maybe he's like an Italian guy. And then I had another guy, a couple of other investigators from around the country that have been in this even longer than me, and they were taking a look into it for me, and they said, you know, the one guy started coming up with names that were like Israeli names. And I said, and then I got to thinking about it and looked back at the video of the guy, and I thought, you know what, the guy could pass for being Israeli. So then I'm like, this may be even something, this guy could be somebody from out of the country once again over here snooping around. So, and then a lot of people think that's conspiracy, but it's like, you go on the internet and you look, I mean, every year they're catching they're catching 15 or 20 Russian spies and they're shipping them back. You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's almost like a game. I mean, it happens all the time. So,
yeah. And sleep,
there's people over here, all countries, I mean, snooping around.
Yeah.
The time,
there's sleeper cells over here. I mean, they're just,
I mean, there's sleeper cells.
Waiting.
There's terrorists, there's spies. There's people doing sabotaging stuff. You know, there's hackers. I mean, it's just, there's hundreds of different types of schemes going on. So
absolutely.
You never know. I mean, you never know. You start investigating somebody, and things start looking shady, and you start out with the basic things and check off the list. It's like, well, maybe he's a drug dealer. No, that's not it. Maybe he's driving a stolen car. No, that, you know, maybe he's wanted. That's not it. And you start going up the chain of going up the pyramid, and next thing, when you start getting to somebody that's got a fake name, a fake business, a fake website, a fake business card, fake everything.
Yeah.
Now you're getting into someone who's a professional at something.
Yeah.
And
they're up to
something. Maybe even simply been a guy who, there are some PI companies out there, people do competitive business intelligence and things, and he simply may have been from, you know, something like that as well. I'm just not sure, but the guy was definitely playing spy, you know.
Yeah, and these guys are everywhere. I mean, they could be your next-door neighbor. You never know, man. But
yeah, that's the funny thing, too. I mean, I'm not an expert on the spy and the terrorism stuff, you know, certainly. But, you know, like you read a lot about the Russian stories. I mean, they send someone over, a young girl, and she gets married to an American guy. They have three little, you know, cute little kids. She works at Walmart.
Yeah.
And you would never have any idea, these people, what they're doing. And that's literally, like, become part of our, you know, society.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you, Mike?
Yeah, just the phone. You know, if they Google Shadow Company Investigations or, you know, anything under St. Louis Private Investigator on YouTube, or call me at 314-737-3166, 24 hours a day. And then the website, again, is stlprivateeye.com. But, you know, the company, Shadow Company Investigations, I'm more like one of the only guys that's actually available 24 hours. You know, people call me all the time and say they can't reach anybody, but that's one reason I get a lot of business too, is I'm actually, you know, I actually like to work, unlike a lot of people nowadays. So that always helps out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, and I always like being on your guys' show too. It's always fun, you know. It's like a comedy show, you know.
Oh yeah, man. We try to have fun here, but we'll have you back when we get our podcast going, man. It'll be even better.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are still. How many years have you guys had this thing going?
Oh, this is 5 years, man.
Oh, it seems like you guys have been doing it longer than that.
It feels like it.
It does. I know that feeling, you know.
Yeah.
You guys got a good show, though. I like talking on there.
Hey, thanks, man. We want to thank you for that comment, and we want to thank you for calling in, man. Always a pleasure talking to you. And like I said, let us get this podcast up and rolling. We'll have you in and have some real fun, bud.
Absolutely, guys. God bless you. Take care.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mike Bland, folks, from Shadow Company Investigations. If you need any private eye work done, if you think your spouse is cheating on you, if you're an employer and you think a guy who's claimed workman's comp is really not hurt, blah, 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 on and on and on, this is the guy to get a hold of. Mike Bland, Shadow Company Investigations. Just Google that. Go on Facebook, check him out, and get a hold of him 24 hours a day.
We are going to be waiting for System Slave to show up. They went down to the Hampton address.
Oh!
So I don't know when they're going to be here, but let's take a moment and on our way to commercial break and listen to Chris Cornell singing a Prince cover.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Nothing Compares to You. Man, this guy's got a
very
voice on.
And Sinead,
they said he's got four octaves.
Now, wait a minute. Is this a...
This is the Prince original.
Sinead O'Connor, wrote by Prince. She covered it? Prince wrote it.
Yeah.
Sinead O'Connor sang it.
Right, but I think Prince did it before her.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't remember
because
that.
Because they said this is a Prince cover.
Okay. All right. We'll go with
Crank it up, baby.
Anyway,
we'll
folks.
We'll be back.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. System Slave coming up.
Sleep all day since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whoever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant. But nothing can take away. It's been so lonely without you here, like a bird without a song.
nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, where did I go wrong? I control my arms around any girl I choose, but it just reminds me of you. To the doctor, and guess what he told me?
That was System Slave, folks.
Is System Slave.
They will be here shortly. Very shortly. Wonderful song. Great song.
Good group of
great
guys.
Voice. Where do I get a voice?
I hope
voice
the lead
like
singer
that?
Brings his wife or girlfriend, Stephanie. She's a shaman.
Oh,
and
right.
we'll just forget talk. We won't talk about music.
We'll just talk about the band. We'll just talk about that.
Yeah, I'm interested.
I am too.
I mean, we're not going to talk about it today, but I'm
do shamans saying. Put hexes on people?
I don't know. Is it shaman or shaman?
I think it's a shaman, isn't it?
I think
is
it's
it shaman. It might be shaman. I don't know, but do they put hexes on people? Because I got a couple of people.
I don't think so.
I got a couple of people.
I don't think they like being compared to witches.
Well, I'm not comparing them. You don't have to be a witch to put a hex on someone. I mean, I've tried to put hexes on people. I don't have any powers whatsoever. I'm definitely not a witch.
True.
But I've wished ill. I've wished ill. Is that the same as putting a hex on somebody, John? Expert? No?
Karma, man. Karma.
I've wished ill on many a man.
Why don't we talk about... let's talk about SICW first.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
If you want to meet Abdullah the Butcher.
Ooh, yes.
5 p.m. East Carondelet Community Center. And then the wrestling starts at 8 p.m.
That's right. At the Community Center in East Carondelet, get out there. If you've never been to SICW Wrestling, I'm telling you what, man, you're missing out because they pay homage to the old glory days of wrestling. We're talking about Wrestling at the Chase. Mm-hmm. Herb Simmons was an integral part of that.
Larry Matizek is there.
It's the Bruiser Brody Memorial Tournament. And I think, don't they have the Wrestling at the Chase Hall of Fame there? At the Bruiser Brody Memorial?
They might be there.
But they sell great T-shirts, too. I got a couple of Wrestling at the... Matter of fact, I got one on right now. Wrestling at the Chase T-shirts. I got a great one with King Kong Brody and Ric Flair and Dick the Bruiser on it. Oh, man, it's a great, great, great time. But that's tomorrow at the East Carondelet Community Center. There in East Carondelet, of course. SICW's Bruiser Brody Memorial Tournament. Come on out. See Herb Simmons. He's a great, great guy. Keeps this action going. You don't want to miss it. Also, folks, our good friend Derek Richardson and his family and his wife, Kathleen, they're going to be hosting a hand-rolling cigar networking event featuring STL cigars. They're going to be there hand-rolling cigars that you can purchase right off the bat, a fresh cigar. I don't know if that's better. Some people like aged cigars. Anyway, May 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Bluff City Grill in Alton. Great food, drinks, live music, and, of course, cigars. Get on out to that May 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Bluff City Grill. And if you haven't been to Bluff City Grill in Alton, John, I know you don't get down to A-Town way much, do you? But if you have not been to Bluff City Grill and you live anywhere in the vicinity, let me tell you something. You're missing out on some great, great food. What's the last place you ate at in Alton, John? Fast Eddie. If you say Fast Eddie's, I'm coming over the table. No.
I don't know if it was Alton, but there's a place called Kinders. When I go to Alton, I usually take the Golden Eagle Ferry over to. I'm not sure if that's the Illinois side.
Then you take what's it called?
Yeah, that's Grafton Road.
Yeah, that's Grafton.
Grafton.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, that's pretty close to Alton.
Yeah, it takes you. It does take you to Alton, though. I think, right?
Oh, okay.
By the Argosy and all that.
Oh yeah. Grafton Road. Oh yeah, you go right by.
Here's what's cool about this cigar rolling event.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, he was able to order 2 actual Cubans off Amazon.
Oh, wow.
The actual people.
The people.
And they had them shipped.
I thought you meant cigars for a minute.
No, he had them shipped.
Shipped over in a crate and like a shipping container?
Yep. Amazon Prime.
They put a jerg of water in there
and a
sleeve of crackers.
So you're going to have legit Cubans rolling cigars.
They put a jug of water and a sleeve of crackers in a shipping container with 2 Cubans.
Have you guys had the Cuban
cigars It was the best meal they've ever had. What, John?
Have you guys had the Cuban cigars before?
No. You know what? I've got one in my humidor that somebody gave me. Not sure if it's real or not. I'm waiting for a professional to come to my house, which will probably...
Oh, that's the one... Yeah.
Gilgis gave me, will probably be never, but... and check it out. I don't want to ruin it.
Are they really that expensive, though?
Yeah, they're pretty expensive.
About $20 a piece.
Probably that or a little bit more. It just depends on what you get, but they're supposed to be, like, the best ever. Like, super, super, super good.
I think a lot of people are into smoking cigars, or chewing them, or whatever they do, swallowing
them. They're good.
Some people chew them and don't smoke them. And
yeah,
Some guys swallow them.
Now
eat
that,
them.
Really? You know,
they eat them.
Ew. Nah, I ain't going to be doing that. But I tell you what, if you get a cigar with a sweetened cap, is what they call it,
They taste really good.
I mean, is any tobacco going in your throat?
No. When you're smoking it?
Yeah.
No.
So you're not supposed to inhale it, I don't think.
No, no, you don't inhale a cigar. Now, there's guys that do. There are guys that do. Those guys are hardcore.
Yeah.
And I tell you what else is hardcore is the tar in their lungs.
I think it's like heroin. You start out, just snorting it, and then you go hardcore.
Start banging it out.
So one day, Brandon, you're going to be smoking cigars.
No, no, no. You mean inhaling them?
You're going to be inhaling them.
No, no. Because I could go literally.
Or you might be injecting them between your toes.
I'll hold them between my toes and put a pair of socks over them and go to sleep.
Cigar tobacco.
Here's the thing about it. I can go for weeks without smoking one. I mean, people say, oh, you get addicted. There's no addiction. I went
to the cigar club at the Chase once and had some cigars with the boys.
Yeah.
And it was interesting.
I will say this. As you're smoking them, at first, they're not that great. You'll find one or two that are pretty good. And then as you're smoking them, then you start being able to taste, like, really, some of them taste like chocolate and stuff. Really
I thought about becoming a wine aficionado.
Well, yeah, that's...
Sommelier?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, sommelier.
I thought about, but there's way more to some. I read up on that. That's, you've got to be able to get your sommelier license. I think there's a lot of frauds out there. You've got to be able to blind drink
a
glass of wine. Not only break it down of all the components, you have to nail precisely where the berries, the grapes are from.
The
vineyard.
Oh, wow.
You got to know the vineyard.
Now, I'm telling you what, if you've got a palate of that nature, is that really the best use of it?
That's why those guys make so much money. Not around here, but at the, that's like, I think Porter's has a sommelier. I don't buy that this guy is legit.
Hmm.
Maybe. I mean, if he's listening. But there's a school, man, and I mean, if you're able to blind drink something and know the vineyard it came from, that's
you remember when you were blind taste testing those hot dogs and you can tell which slaughterhouse?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I'm telling you, he was picking out the slaughterhouse that it came from.
That's when I tell you what though, ketchup I can blind taste.
Oh, that's true because I can blind taste test ketchup. Now I might not necessarily know
the vineyard that the tomatoes were picked from.
I may not be able to know every brand, but I'm telling you what right now, you give me Hunt's, Brooks, and Heinz, and I will tell you I'll tell you what's what.
And probably House Recipe.
Yeah,
House and Del Monte.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, nothing goes in my house. Nothing has ever went in my house except for Heinz.
One time I was dating this chick, and they put me to the test, and they thought they got me because I was like, it's a mixture.
Ooh!
It was Heinz and like...
Is there a ketchup sommelier?
It's a mixture.
Ketchup sommelier.
John, is that a thing? Can you Google that? Because Nathan, I'm telling you what right now, Nate might have some money coming his way. We're talking tens of dollars. Tens of dollars. Ketchup sommelier. Boy, that'd be great. You know what? There was a guy, I watched a program way, 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 way back, and there was a guy that was a taste tester for Edie's ice cream. That's his job at Edie's. Dude, he'd make like buku bucks, and he would take the quart of ice cream away, and he would chop it with this knife, and he would scoop it out of the center. But the way that he tasted it was so stupid. He would aerate. He goes, "You've got to aerate it," and he was doing this on the
breaking the components.
I mean, and he was really like rejecting whole batches of. He was like, "Okay, lot number C182, throw them all out."
And what's stupid is he has to do that to keep his job.
Oh yeah, yeah. If he's not rejecting batches, they're like, "Okay, bud, not every one of them can be good."
Right.
You know, if you're just not rejecting him, you know he's gone. But I wonder if he's still employed. Because this guy was like dead serious about it. He looked stupid.
I'd like to get into wine, but I think it's a very expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah. It's very expensive.
Like whiskey, too.
Whiskey would be definitely an expensive hobby. We looked up some whiskey today at work, and the most, there was ones for like $2 million. Yeah, it was stupid. The thing was encrusted with diamonds.
Come on. I mean, okay,
I think
that
it was the bottle was worth
that's stupid.
Yeah, the whiskey was $40 and the bottle was.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Is that $119,000 I see?
Yep.
Woo, for what? A bottle of wine?
Yamazaki 50-year-old third.
Oh, wow.
I'm looking at the most expensive bottle of whiskey.
Whiskey, yeah. There's one that was 64 years old that we looked up today. 64 years old.
You think there's any that date back to like revolutionary times or anything like that?
Here's what I was saying. I don't know. You know what? Maybe wine. I don't know about whiskey. Here's the thing. I was telling the guys at work today when we looked up the 64-year-old bottle of whiskey. Okay, when is the special event that you cracked that open? I can't imagine anything except on your deathbed.
On your deathbed.
Because anything else, I mean, when do you bust that open? It's a one-off. Once you open it, you're done. That's it. You no longer own a 64-year-old bottle of whiskey.
It's like a car. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it decreases.
Yeah, you're done. I knew a guy who just lived on the lot one time when he bought
it. Are you hardcore on whiskey drinking when you're dumping it down your colostomy hole?
Man.
I'm not a big whiskey drinker. I just drink beer.
Yeah. Oh, dude, what kind of beer?
You did not say you didn't have a colostomy.
Oh, I noticed you shied away from that, John. No.
Just Budweiser.
Just Budweiser? Oh, so you don't get into craft beers?
No, you're not hipster enough, are you?
Good, you're smart.
Let me tell you something. First of all, I don't like beer. I try it every now and again. I give every beer a shot. Somebody brings me beer. They're like, oh, this is blueberry beer. Oh, it's so good. And you know what I taste? Every beer, skunk water. It doesn't matter. It can be Blue Moon. It could be Corona. Every time I sip it, I taste skunk water. That's it. That's all I can taste. I drink hard stuff if I drink.
Like vodka? See, I was never able to do vodka.
Really?
I like vodka water. Hey, while we're waiting
like
on
Long Beaches.
System Slave, can we play another System Slave?
Let's give them some airtime, man. Let's go ahead and play another song.
What's this one called, John?
This song is called Loaded.
Ooh.
This guy's got a voice on him, too.
I think maybe they did this one last time they came to the studio.
Well, let's hear it.
Live. All right, folks, this is System Slave with Loaded. They're going to be in studio shortly. Let's give it a listen.
Side. Don't know how long we can go on this way. Never wanted to be your wrecking ball this time. But I can't hide the pain. Can't stay when you're loaded. Never thought we'd be here again. In the face of the falling, don't know how to feel when you say you've changed. Well, everything's the same. And I can't stay when you're loaded and let you tear my heart.
Hi, this is Sean Barker from the Man in Black tribute to Johnny Cash. When I'm not singing Folsom Prison Blues, I'm listening to the Brothers on Whatever Show.
Love
that.
Oh yeah. Is a burning
thing. We don't want to step on System Slave's toes here by talking about another musician.
Right, right.
That's okay with that one though.
That's our good buddy Sean. Yeah. You guys know Sean?
Sean Barker. Oh, I thought you were talking about Johnny Cash.
Oh, Johnny Cash is great.
Well, Sean Barker is a local guy, but he's a Johnny Cash tribute, and he's got a little show going in Vegas now and a huge show in
Canada. I want to check him out.
He actually sounds like Johnny Cash.
Oh, he's a cool dude, man. This guy's cool.
That voice will just wrap you in like a quilt of comfort.
Quick, weird story. Bill Furness is a local guy who's a Johnny Cash tribute.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Sean Barker is a Johnny Cash tribute.
Yeah.
They went to grade school together and had a band. It broke up. They went their separate ways. Like 20 years later, they run into each other. What are you doing these days? I'm a Johnny Cash tribute. Me too. What's the chances?
Is slim to none right there. Man. Hey, anyway. Folks, we're sitting here with System Slave in the house. They finally got the studio.
Hey, I can't blame them because we've been to 10 different ones.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous that you guys remembered that. I thought I sent you the address, maybe.
He did.
I'm sure you did.
It's dumped down rain on the way.
The last 2 months.
It's raining.
Starting right to my right to left, name and what do you do in the band?
I'm Stefan. I'm the singer.
I'm Mike. I'm the guitarist.
I'm Rich Guzman, drums.
All right. Man, you got a hell of a voice, dude.
We were just talking about Cornell. It.
Yeah.
They said he's got 4 octaves.
He's.
How many do you have?
Not as many as Chris Cornell, I'll tell you that. But he's a huge inspiration to me. Like I was like dead the other day I found out about that. Man.
Yeah. We've been playing.
Then the point just plays Chris Cornell all day. You're killing me.
It's crazy. And they canceled the show Sunday, right?
The whole show.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say this guy did kill himself.
Yeah.
He's probably got some serious mental issues, depressions.
Oh, yeah.
There's no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of vehicles, cars, houses that covers up that, man.
I was just talking about this on my page the other day.
You're a pretty young kid. Yeah. I mean, 12 or something. I mean, well, for being his age.
Most of your good musicians, they all fight a depression, and that depression's very hard to beat. Then, no matter what front you put on people and how good it looks and how good their life may be going to them, but in your mind, when you're fighting that depression, there's nothing that can do any better for you. So,
Mental illness doesn't care how much money you got. Don't care who you are, man.
Or how much fame you got. Yep. Or how many people like you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, hey, you guys are live now.
I try to think about where he was. It's like, I feel like he just played a sold-out show. It's like he felt like he's done everything he wanted to do. I just forgot what's going through that man's head.
Do you have any vocal training?
No, I don't, actually.
No?
But I think it's good with
I need
a
vocal
like,
coach, though, just to give me my stamina, keep my stamina.
You should, but you've got different ranges. Like, there's a lot of musicians that I know and a lot of us know, and they've got their pocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, and, man, they better doggone stay in that pocket, right? Okay?
Stay in
but
that
it's nice
like
with
a
guy
hipster.
Like you that can – you've got different pockets.
I know my limits, you know.
You've got several shirt pockets.
I got a couple.
Yeah, you
got
do have a couple, man.
As long as I don't got shorts cut off with my pockets showing, right?
Right, true.
Right.
But do you know where your pocket goes bye-bye? I mean –
Oh, yeah. Everybody should know the range.
Everybody should know that. Yes. We've seen so many bands, though, that one in particular, Nathan knows what I'm talking about. We're not going to mention any names, but just didn't know the pocket and was always trying to get
always
out
trying
of
to hit
it.
You.
Way out of the, like.
Hitting high notes does not mean you're a good singer.
And not only that, but
you can sing high range, that does not mean you're a good singer.
Right. Yeah, right when the person says, take a break, man, I'm doing this a cappella, it's like.
No. I'm doing Adele a cappella. No.
Yeah,
you're not.
If they sing high notes, they better be on there.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to destroy the whole
It's a good
show.
Thing I'm not a singer, I guess.
Yeah. Is guitar and drums like that, though? Is there just certain things you can't do?
There's always things you can't do, but you work on that to get better anyway, so you can do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should focus on what you can't do. I think you should just play what the music calls for.
Just be kick-ass. Right.
You know what I mean?
Be kick-ass at what you can do.
Well, the fact that you guys don't do a lot of covers, do you?
No,
do any covers.
Okay, that helps because,
His hand there, what he just said, you shouldn't. When you're playing songs, you should not focus on what you can't do. But when you're on your own, you should focus on what you can't do.
Oh, yeah, when you're practicing
So that you can actually use that as a weapon toward writing more songs.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
I definitely want to stretch my range if I can, but not in the songs. I don't want to be at the very tip top of my range the whole time.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to do that. That's not.
No.
Right.
No. Not well, that's going to, you're going to hurt your vocals.
Right.
Your vocal cords.
You just want to go there and touch the top here and there.
Blow those, you're done.
Yeah, you're done.
How come all the chicks like the drummers, man?
What's
with you guys?
Quite frankly, I don't see that.
Really?
He's lying. Don't let him.
Oh, yeah. You're full of it, dude.
He's full.
They like that rapid hand action.
Yeah, right.
You want to know a quick, real funny story? Real funny. Back in the day, we played at the Charlotte, me and Chuck did. And since we're all younger than Chuck, he had this lady hitting on him there. And this is when he was single. And we walked up to the lady and said, "Do you like our dad?" And she's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, we're all his kids, man. We all jam together.
That's,
you know,
hilarious.
It's family love, man, here jamming."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, great.
You know, I'm 25. I'm the oldest one in here.
Oh, man, it sucks getting
it
old.
It was
cute sucks times. Getting old, don't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah, it does.
I just turned 41.
It doesn't, you know.
Yeah, you're right, because you know what? I would not want to be 21 again and as dumb as I was.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
if I could go back, well.
I don't want this guy any part of this conversation. He don't know nothing about
it. I don't know that it's dumb. I like to call it misinformed.
Well, that's true. Right. I'd like to go back to my 20s and be a smart.
How old are you, buddy?
Right.
14?
I don't want to be 14 again, but boy, if I knew what I knew now.
That's my oldest son.
He's not in the band, but he's my son.
If we knew what we knew now, we might get ourselves in trouble.
Oh, Mike. Look at him. He looks just like Mike, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Every kid Mike's guy is like, that is Mike's kid. You can tell.
You can't,
there's no design.
You can't tell
him
apart, man.
He's
got that dominant Mike gene.
Right.
I feel sorry for him, man, for real.
Hey, he's got a lot more kids than me. I think guitar players get
there's several.
There you go.
There's several kids running around the Philippines.
I got a baseball team, man. Almost. Yeah,
if we go on tour, man, this guy can have them all over the place. He's super fertile.
You got a bunch of kids?
Five.
Five kids!
And then I have an adopted daughter now, which
but
is
he
my
has
niece,
twins.
Six.
He does have twins, though, so that makes up for
yeah, twins make up. I only count my twins, yeah.
Just once, yeah.
I should only count them as one. That gives me four.
Wow.
There
you go.
I've got one. That's
when we were having the twins, it was messed up because we only thought we was having one all the way up until the date of birth, and then the lady got mad at us, said, "Why didn't you tell us you're having twins?" And we're like, "What the heck are you talking about?"
Tell us that?
Oh, my God, dude.
And your was it your wife, I guess?
At the time.
Your wife wasn't bigger than normal?
Mm.
Wow. Because usually when you're carrying twins, they're like,
right.
And they're twins. You can't tell them apart. These two are identical.
Oh, man. And I'll tell you right now, if you're smart, don't have more than two kids. I'm just telling you.
There you go.
Dude, the women I date could be, they're so big, they could be pregnant with a giraffe. We wouldn't know.
He would never know till that hoof popped out.
I've actually heard people saying they've been pregnant and they didn't know it.
Yeah,
I know, man.
Come on now. Hey, we knew a girl in.
Oh, I'm in labor.
Knew a girl in Pennsylvania, and she knew she was pregnant, but she hid it from her family till.
Was she a big? It had to be a
big
girl.
Tall.
Doesn't your period stop?
But how would your family know if your period stopped?
Yeah.
Well, how about this one? This is the best one.
She knew.
This is the best one. We knew a gal who was a little bit. I knew that she wasn't getting nothing, right? But anyway, she said she was pregnant, and her stomach was getting big like she was pregnant. She died.
Yeah, she died.
Because she hadn't taken a dump in about 8 months.
It wasn't a baby. It was a dookie ball.
Oh, boy.
Wow. She just quit going.
Just quit. She wasn't right up. Wasn't right up here. So we had to. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. That's. I forgot about that story.
Man.
I mean, that makes you. Doesn't that want to make you just go to the bathroom? And be like, let me make sure.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I don't got a dookie ball forming.
Jeez.
All right. So what have you guys been up to? Got anything new
cooking?
Coming out?
Well,
got any
whole
shows?
Album.
Whole album.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Took a CD.
Tell us about that, man.
It has took us a course of 2 years to get it all the way from start to finish. Was you know, we went to a good studio.
Hey, that's all right.
You know, so we had to pay a little more money, but
yeah,
just took it a little time.
Yeah,
you know?
We didn't want it to take that long.
No, we didn't want.
We've had all the songs done within the first year, and right now we're actually working on our second album.
Man,
and we're just now releasing the first one.
Once we get that one, we're gonna record it all at one time and.
We're actually gonna go, we're gonna go to another state. It's gonna be quicker the next time around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now there's one on Cherokee. Is it called Native?
I mean, there's some good ones in St. Louis too.
Yeah, there's some good studios up here.
I mean, it's
Shock City's supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shock City is well known.
Yeah.
But these are some dollars. I mean, like you guys said, this is some serious money being put out.
But you know what?
I think we're $7,800 into it.
Really?
10 songs. 10 songs.
Better buy an album, please.
No joke. Believe it or not, the album's worth it though. For $10, that album's gonna be amazing.
$10. Just get all the lyrics. Everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Guarantee it.
The thing about it is though, if you're gonna do a CD, if you're gonna put this much work into writing the songs and everything. You want it to be decent, because trust me, we've got some CDs in here from bands, and you're just like, dude, you could have came to my bedroom with a couple of microphones I got. Yeah,
no lie. No lie. This isn't a Dookie story.
We worked very hard on these songs. We could go back and probably the first three we recorded, I wanted to redo in a studio. And we chose not to. We just remastered them.
Yeah.
But, you know, because you get better over time with your music anyway. So you write it, and then it stays there for them. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can do this much better to it. So then you add to it.
People love it as it is.
But then when you put it down on CD, you're done. There's no more putting, adding to anything. It's over.
Yeah.
So you're next. You got to write it to where you're going to be happy with it.
I think one of them was Loaded, but that's what everybody absolutely loves. So, I mean, it's like, that's why I told myself, don't mess with it. It's perfect. Everybody loves it.
Loaded. We actually wrote the drum parts in the studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some of the songs, a lot of the parts were actually done in the studio.
Yeah.
I've heard of that, final touches. You know? Yeah, I've heard of that, too.
It's kind of scary, but it worked out.
Yeah,
it's scary.
Loaded's got a great hook.
Yeah,
that's why.
I think that's what everybody...
Road Less Traveled On, I think. I prefer Road Less Traveled On over Loaded, you say.
Do you have a producer, then? Or does the guy at the studio over?
No, we composed everything. He just kind of, like, pushes, like, if I'm singing, he's like, oh, try that again, or do this again. There's a couple things he did, you know.
We're on our own for the most part at the moment.
It'd be nice to have somebody in there helping me, like, you know, an actual producer, like an engineer and a producer in there, like saying this.
It's a big learning curve.
That's the next album right there.
First one.
Producer.
Right.
I'm actually looking forward to the second one because we have more of an idea how to handle it.
Right.
Somebody that's not in the band that can be outside of what we're doing and look in, you know, and be like, okay, maybe you guys should do this or do that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's nice to have.
We don't have the money to be in the studio 6 months out of the year.
Oh, exactly. Like, you don't have a record company paying for the paying for studio.
Probably a good idea because they really charge it. You know?
Oh man,
June 10th.
It's crazy.
June 10th is the release date.
Album show at Pops.
Okay.
Hey, you guys are on the guest list. By the
way. Oh, we are.
Let's give you tickets. One or two.
So we got. Okay. Put it in your calendar.
I'm putting Saturday night.
Man, I am
going to let
this
go. I'm getting booked. So Inimical Drive is going to be there.
Oh, I love it.
Conquerors They Come.
That's Nate's.
Odom and Kuvy.
Oh, Kuvy,
Kuvy's opening.
Kuvy told me to come buy tickets from him.
We just had
I'm doing it. I'm going to say, sorry, they're free. No, I'll do it anyway.
Help that man out. He's a good dude.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah,
he's only by himself selling tickets, so that's no fair.
Have
him,
you ever heard his
way.
Interviews he's done with us?
No, I need to.
Dude, you'll be crying.
He makes me laugh. I go to a lot of his shows when I can, man.
You were at the
and he's original burlesque.
She's not going to
be at the. She's not going to be at the next one. Or he, she.
He. Yeah. he's a he, she.
Okay, damn it. Give me whoops. Anyway, he is not going to be at the next one, that burlesque thing.
Okay.
What do you think about those women over there?
I mean, they're not big enough for me.
Hey, let me
tell
you.
There's a couple biggins now.
We've talked about this before. If you've listened to the show, you know what kind of women Nathan like. When you can put their belly in a sidecar, they're getting there.
That's just getting there.
He's thinking about it. He's thinking about
What's funny is every time I talk about this, I start getting messages from these girls I know, and they're like, "Is that how you think? You think I'm that big?"
No, actually, that's why we're not together.
Well, I bet you're in a lot of trouble, then, don't you?
I like getting in trouble.
You're too skinny.
No. Oh, just real quick. Speaking of people who. Send us music and stuff, bogus CDs. This, no lie, this guy sent us a CD of his guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
The straight guitar playing.
It was with his mouth.
It was with his mouth.
To do that, like back in the 80s, a comedian.
Here's my new song.
And he was good at
it. Dude, that was a guy Pizza Can. I mean,
I can go with that.
He's certified sound effects with his mouth, just like Bobby McFerrin. I mean, that's the same thing. But this kid was like, I call this one
fire and ice or something like it was. He's like, I mean, the whole entire songs, dude, like 3 minutes, and you're like.
Like he just got whiskey drunk. And
oh,
just,
the problem was he was dead serious.
Are you sure it wasn't a joke? He wasn't doing it as a joke?
No, listen, if it was a joke, he's never told
this
us.
This guy married a chick from Mexico, and he's never seen her since. They fly him over there. He marries this chick. I'm like, dude, did you consummate this thing? No. She said we'll do it when she gets over here.
All right.
I saw him like 3 years later. He's like, no, she hasn't made it here yet. I'm like, dude, she's here.
Oh,
she's here.
Absolutely.
She's here.
That's a goddamn.
California. Go to California. That's where she's living.
She just went and found a different dude.
Yeah, I'm like, you
what
goofball.
What had me dying was he showed me a picture of the ceremony, and she had him in those hat like a gaucho with the outfit and everything. He's standing there
what do they call it,
those singers, those like Mexican singers where there's like 20 of them and they all got the same outfit.
Big hat.
Is this sombrero?
Sombrero. It was a cowboy hat, but it was a huge
cowboy boots with the swirl on there. Yeah,
she really wanted him to look retarded.
I think she's like, let's make him look dumb.
We're gonna teach this guy a lesson. He thinks he's gonna get a wife.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, you got to at least consummate that thing.
Yeah, at least that idea, man.
He was a virgin. He still is because he doesn't want to cheat.
Now is he not going to divorce her? Or he's going to let it ride? Or
I don't know how you could. How do you? Of course, I guess you can divorce.
Oh, there's ways to do it.
Absent.
Oh yeah, you could just post it publicly or something like that.
Well, they got that pre-annulment or the
limit on that.
It's like if. You
think it's 7 years.
With someone 3 months, you get a divorce. I can't remember what it was.
Well,
I was married 39
right?
days, so.
Really?
It's tough to get an annulment.
Yeah.
She's got to have a wanker dinker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You got to have something legit.
But like, come on, Judge. I really got to get out this one, man, without
$15,000.
It's like, Judge, I want an annulment because it turned out she had a wiener. Yes, I played with it for 4 months.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was trying new things.
Jeez.
I was married to it. Might as well try it.
Woo.
Anyway, when you guys are writing songs, who does most of the writing? Where is it coming from?
Usually Mike.
Is it anything or is it just whatever?
Mike usually busts out a riff for me, and we kind of go from there. I'm like, okay, I can throw something on that, and it just comes together pretty much from there. Yeah, and then we both work on composure together.
And me and Mike kind of work out the drums. And
yeah, they do all that together.
Him and
Chuck writes the drums.
So, yeah, but usually it starts with a riff, like you were saying. Or I'll have a song that's kind of pre-ordered and it's rough form, and then I'll be like, okay, guys, this is what I got. Check it out. I'm still not done. And then when Stefan starts, then we start fine-tuning it. Everybody jumps on pretty quickly with the song and is feeling it right then and there, then we'll keep going. If only a couple of us are feeling it, then we just kind of shove it aside, and then it comes back later.
Yeah.
I bet it feels good when one takes form, don't it?
Yeah, because sometimes we'll just have a
riff. Road Less Traveled On, that's one. Loaded was another.
Yeah, have a riff, and it just something happens. And it's like,
it seems like in this band, what happens is we write a song, and if we can get through the whole thing by the second time we play it, we keep it.
Oh.
Well, that seems to be how it really is.
that just means that like we felt
Mike pre-thinks his stuff up, and then Stefan, he works with Mike, and then he goes home with it. In his head and work, doing roofs, whatever.
Yeah.
And I can see he has it all.
Your roof that
he comes
more.
Back. He knows what he's going to do. My drums are usually wrote with Mike, but when he sings, I kind of take and bend my drums around him. So, you know, usually any of the singing parts, I kind of alter them or change them up a little after the song's wrote.
Did I hear this right? Stefan goes home, takes it home and does roofies?
Yeah. He's doing roofies all day.
When we first got together, I was roofing a lot. Now I don't do that very often, luckily. But
hey, let's listen to
singing in the shower.
Let's listen to some Road Less Traveled On. See what we got here.
That was a one take song for us.
You never heard Road Less Traveled On?
Probably, but
it's got the video and stuff.
Okay.
It's another slow ballad.
That's my speed.
It's a good song.
Can't make you one more day. Through fear of lies and mistakes along the way. It's your demise. How can I feel for you when you can't even look me in the eye?
Very nice. Man, those vocals are just... Woo.
The guitars are okay, I guess.
They're all right.
That's why these guys love playing metal, because I can really get the going on the guitars and stuff. That's why I give them a little metal
I wrote them guitars for my daughter, actually.
Oh, no.
Oh, nice.
And you guys said during the break that you're cranking your professionalism up a notch. You're going first class.
Oh, yeah.
We want to tour this year. We want to start touring this year.
Yeah, we're pushing ourselves to learn how to do the live thing properly.
Moonstock, August 20th is a very big show for us.
See, I'm glad to hear you guys are considering all these little aspects of.
I mean, so you want to do it or you don't
do
it?
The band, right? Like most people, they don't. Oh, we know how to play, so we're good, right? Yeah. No, there's all kinds
of show.
Stuff.
It's entertainment.
There's a whole lot
more.
There's
stuff we want to do that we can't really get yet, but eventually we're going to
get daily.
A big production, you know?
Every single day I'm doing something for the band.
Yeah.
Even if we're not practicing, I'm booking shows. Yep. I'm looking for, you know, endorsements.
It's a business.
Getting
man.
The radio stations. Really I'm getting music. I'm getting contacts for venues and getting contacts for bands to play. I mean, it's nonstop work.
Yeah.
Got a regular life.
Well, that's my old lady. She's like, you're on that damn computer all the time. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get the music heard. You
that's
know?
How you got
to
She
do
won't
it.
Be. She won't be complaining when she's popping that bottle of Cristal.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy
today. I try to tell her that all the time. She's like, I don't give a crap.
I was talking to my cousin today about, and you guys are doing it, like a lot of bands today don't have to put in the work. They get seen on YouTube. Next thing you know, they're signed, and they're just that. And they're
that
ain't as good. That ain't as good.
They usually fail faster
do.
Too.
Yeah, getting signed in is bigger than it used to be.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Because like getting signed before. I guess because they would do all the marketing for you. Mm-hmm. But now you can basically, anybody can.
Oh, and you know what? And you get to keep the money.
All
that's
of it.
The thing. Because you sign, usually if you get signed, it means less money.
Right. You got to pay all that up front.
The problem with the money, though, is really there's no money there.
A lot of bands get signed.
Not in today's. Not unless you're selling out clubs. If you're selling out clubs, you can make maybe a couple $100 a night.
I was listening to a documentary on TLC, the pop group TLC, and Left Eye, who's dead now, but she was talking about the money they make and the money that went back in. She's like, everybody thinks we're millionaires. She broke it down, like what they made, went back.
Didn't they all get a truck or something?
By the time she got done, all the work, all the tourings, like two huge albums, she had $150,000 in the bank.
Right.
Well, that's why I was reading something the other day. It was breaking down a band that was on tour for 12 months. They maxed out two credit cards, but after they paid their roadies, their sound guys, and everything, I think the overall budget of the tour they brought in, it was like $1 million.
Yeah.
But their take-home pay per the two people was $20,000 for the 12-month run.
Isn't that
each.
Crazy?
$20,000 each.
And you can almost make that
a
restaurant.
You can almost make that picking up cans.
That's love. That's love of the music.
That's factory work. Except you're doing what you love. Yeah. I mean, that's the best part of it. You at least get to do what you love.
Absolutely.
Well, I always tell I got some musician friends, and they're like, I don't want a tour. And I'm like, listen, you can be broke here. Or be broke touring the country and the world.
At least do one run of it.
Do it.
Yeah,
it
is.
You don't
want to
kick yourself in the ass later on.
Do it.
We intend to run this band like a business. So
you got to. You got to. All right, real quick. We got literally like a minute and a half here. Shout out all your information. Shout out your upcoming shows that you got and all that good stuff.
System Slave. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/SystemSlave. June 10th, we're playing Pops. So it's an album release show. Doors are at 7 o'clock, I believe. $5 tickets if you get a hold of us, and we will deliver them to you.
Nice.
August 20th, we're playing with Five Finger Death Punch. Hell yeah.
Nice.
All That Remains, Ozzy Osbourne.
Woo!
Papa Roach. It's a four-day festival down in Walker's Bluff.
That's awesome.
And
that's a good one, Eric.
And there's many more shows coming up yet. October 21st, we're also playing a benefit for the veteran suicide in Farmington.
Nice.
Wasn't it only a rumor that Ozzy bit the head off a bat?
No, that's true.
No, I think that's true.
Do it. Yeah. Do it. Top it.
Let's
do something.
I'm going to be like, can you bite that head off that bat? Please.
Bite the head off a carrier
pigeon.
That shows
at a winery, and
you
I
won't
figured it out. Ozzy's got his own wine now.
Yeah, he does.
Walker's bluff, though.
All right. Hey, guys, we want to thank you for coming in, man. We wish you success with the new album. for sure.
Man. Thank you.
And I know at least Nate will be there June 10th. I think I got to work. But if I don't have to work, I'll be there.
It's worth calling off work. Be like, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow.
I quit.
What is it? What day is it?
I got to go to a rock show.
But anyway, thanks for coming in, guys. We really appreciate it. System Slave, folks. Check them out on Facebook. See them at a venue near you. They are a kick-ass band. Hey, folks, this has been the Brothers on Whatever program. Check us out. Brothers on Whatever, 1520 at yahoo.com. Check us out on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Brothers on What. And on Instagram, folks, follow us, please. But this has been the Brothers on Whatever program. I'm Brandon.
I'm Nate.
Good people.
Best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need fun.
Take a trip down the red carpet. You'll discover a dazzling place where stardom becomes you. There's no place like Hollywood. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Visit us at HollywoodCasinoSt.Louis.com. Must be 21. Gambling problem in Missouri? Call 1-888.